Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Yeehaw!
Good morning, New York.
Yeehaw!
It's championship weekend in NFL, and I said last week was the greatest week in all of the NFL. I love the 2 days, the Saturday and the Sunday games.
We saw some good football.
We have some great football games this weekend.
Yeah, we did. And the last week of the season was pretty good, too. The one thing I will say is, at least I'll say it around friends, is it doesn't get any better than this. We have the top four. We have the top four seeds at the start of the season. And when I mean seeds, there really isn't anybody seeded at the start of the NFL season. But in Vegas, the lines tell the story. And all the lines, the top four plays, the worst four odds that you could get for somebody winning the Super Bowl, for a team winning the Super Bowl, those four teams are still in it. Seattle, no surprise there. San Francisco, this is their third straight year that they're in the championship game. Mm-hmm. Denver Broncos, everybody thought should have been in the Super Bowl. If it wasn't for a big surprise by the Baltimore Ravens last year, they would have been in. And they're a story in themselves right now, in my opinion, because Peyton Manning, this is all about him. No matter what you say, this is all about him. Peyton Manning, a guy that's come back from
neck surgery.
Yeah, he had eight neck surgeries. Eight different procedures on his neck. And everybody that has seen him this year says he throws out, except for one game where he got thrown on his back a couple of times and they end up losing that game, and he looked like he wasn't getting much on the ball.
Indianapolis game, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was. It was the Indianapolis game. And you know what? That was a weird deal anyway, because in the Indianapolis game, I thought that Jimmy Irsay and the Indianapolis team in general put way too much pressure and asked him to do too much, saying goodbye to the Indianapolis fans one more time. Didn't you think that was a crock of you-know-what?
Well, I think that it was good that
he didn't want to do it.
I think it was good that they did that, but if you're the Indianapolis Colts, don't you want to get the opponent in a kind of like a
funk?
Yeah.
Well, they did, and my...
I mean, they're winning a game.
I'm glad they got beat, because I thought...
No, they beat it. They beat them.
No. I'm glad they got beat eventually, Indianapolis. I mean, they're not in the playoffs now. Right. They're out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did, because I thought that week there was no way that he was going to be 100%. He was exhausted. It wasn't just that. They had gone to two or three different events over a two-day period, mm-hmm. and the number of press conferences was up, tripled, because it's Indianapolis. It's where his home was.
Well, could you imagine if Indianapolis had beat New England this week? I mean, I know we have the whole Brady versus Manning rivalry thing going on in the media. That's all well and good, and it's somebody that Manning has struggled.
Well, let me ask you a question.
But could you imagine if this was Manning versus Indianapolis to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, we wouldn't have the best teams in it.
Pretty wild
if that was it. Yeah, I mean, New England put it on them last week. They put it on them hard. As a matter of fact, I took a nap at halftime of that game and watched the end of the game twice.
Look
afterwards, because I just knew the game was over. I mean, you could tell the game was over. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening.
Well, they claw back into it a little bit, but for the most part, what, three interceptions for Luck, I think it was?
Yeah. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. That's Roy over there. And Matt's on the box, and we're going to have some fun today. We've got already recorded a segment with one of my favorite people, Jess Root, and it's going to be coming up next, which will give Roy and I us. Let me tell you, we're not going to tell you who we think is going to be in it. By the way, if you go to NHBOWL.com, you'll see that Bruce Hall Sports is like getting all the getting all the publicity on their website because I'm 7-1 in the postseason right now with the totals and with the games I've called.
You have to be honest, though. You're on the fence on both games, right?
Well, yeah, but I thought I wasn't supposed to tell them that, Matt. You got to make up your mind. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to tell them or do you not want me to tell them?
You can tell them after you hear all
the guests. I'm still on the fence, and I'm going to tell you, somebody during the next hour and 45 minutes is going to talk me into who I'm going to play. I'm going to say an hour and a half because I've got to give it to you the last segment when Tony Mazur, my boy that we couldn't get on last week because I had a couple of things happen during the show last week, and we had so many guests, which we love to get during NFL season, that we didn't get Tony on last week. And it's just as well because he was crying because Cleveland is in the same situation as the Washington Redskins were several years ago when before Shanahan got here, we had Jim Zorn. Well, Jim Zorn was hired. You're not going to believe this. He was hired as an offensive coordinator before we even had a head coach. Well, what head coach wants the job if they've already hired your offensive coordinator? How about nobody?
Remember Brian Billick interviewed for the game for the job?
Yeah.
And he came in and started talking like, Jim Zorn is such a great offensive mind. I would make him my offensive coordinator. And then the Redskins that already had Jim Zorn hired, so they were like, all right, well, instead of paying Brian Billick whatever the crazy amount of money that he wants, we'll just go with Jim Zorn for
they should. Change. And by the way, I wish they had hired Brian because I've always liked Brian. I think Brian's would have done a good job. I think he's highly respected. He's a lot smarter than Shanahan. But you know what? I got to tell you, I was listening to a show this morning, and a guy who used to play safety for Rodney Harrison was with the New England Patriots and several teams at the end of his career. A fantastic player. He's the kind of guy I was. He liked to hit people and watch their helmet fly 30 yards down the field. But Rodney said that one of the teams he hated playing always was Denver because he said no matter what, Shanahan, with all the weapons he had in Denver, would make his life miserable every game. And, you know, that says a lot. He comes to D.C. and he doesn't get squat done. Well, what does that say about the D.C. team? I mean, there's obviously some dysfunctionality. There's also pretty sure that there's a curse on the Redskins. Did you read about the curse? It has to do with, like, a goat that some guy used to bring into Griffith Stadium and watch the Redskins play, and they stopped letting him bring his goat in the stadium. And so he cursed them.
That sounds like the Chicago Cubs.
No. That's the same thing. Oh, you know what? Maybe that is the Chicago Cubs. I just made up a pretty good thing, though. Well, what we need to do is we all need to bring our dogs to the stadium.
We could do that. You had me so convinced. I'm like, that makes sense.
It was.
What are the coincidences? This guy was a Chicago Cubs and a Washington Redskins fan.
I could have swore it was the Redskins, but it wasn't. It was Cubs. I believe you.
Well, no,
you know why they're cursed? They're cursed because of the Redskin thing. It was an Indian that cursed him. That is true.
You think so?
Yeah, and that happened several years ago. I'm Bruce Hall, and I might be making this up as I go, but it sounds good. Listen, we're gonna talk about a lot of stuff. If you have access to a New York Post today, pick it up. There are some great, great pieces. No Sean Moreno. There's a whole page on No Sean Moreno.
He's in a lot of publicity.
About what he went through as a young man, and it's just a great read. This kid is special, and you know what? One of the things you and I talked about was when before the lines came out from Vegas last week. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm a handicapper. I make my own lines anyway. Before, you know, every Sunday night I make the lines and I look at the lines in Vegas and see how far off they are, not me. And but last week I said to everybody, I said, you know, I could see both of these lines, both of these numbers being three. Absolutely, because this is probably the tightest games that we could have even asked for.
Yeah, four really good teams left. We got both of them are rivalries. We got the Brady Manning rivalry, then we got the San Francisco Seattle rivalry, which has seemingly caught a lot of steam in recent years.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I've got Jess Root on, my favorite guy in Arizona. Jess is with SB Nation, and you can reach him, Jess, if I'm wrong, at Senor, S-E-N-O-R, Jess, J-E-S-S, Root. Isn't that correct?
That is correct, Bruce.
That's great. I can't wait to see you in spring training. I may have to come a little earlier than normal. Let's get to the meat of what we're talking about today. We're going to do 2 hours of nothing but trying to figure out who I'm going to release at noon, because I'm having a tough time because I love all four of these teams. You covering the Arizona Cardinals, every year. You guys, nobody knows them better than you. You know, you guys went 11-5, arguably should have been in the playoffs if you'd have been anywhere else except the NFC West, and went into Seattle and beat Russell Wilson the only time he's ever been beat there. Tell me how you were even able to do that.
Well, it came down to the defense. Obviously, offensively, they weren't as crisp. They did what they needed. I mean, Carson Palmer was intercepted 4 times. That Seattle defense was every bit as tremendous, but the Cardinals defense put a lock on Marshawn Lynch. All season, they only allowed 100-yard rusher. That was Frank Gore in Week 6, and it was only 101 yards. They bottled him up. They kept Russell Wilson in the pocket and just made things tough down the field. They held him to 10 points, and it came down to a couple of big plays late.
You know, the thing about, you know, Daryl Bevel is their offensive coordinator, and I'm not a big fan of Bevel's, and it seems like late in the year they've gotten very conservative. They're almost relying on their defense, playing kind of like the Baltimore Ravens did 10 years ago. Do you get that feeling, too? It was almost like you guys opened up a lot more than they did when you beat them in Seattle.
Well, and that's kind of by nature, because the Seattle defense is every bit as good and stopped the run so well. Arizona ran a little bit less than they had been in the few games previous. But Arizona, all season, it was a passing offense. I mean, Carson Palmer threw for over 4,200 yards, became the first player to do it for 3 different teams. But yeah, Seattle was, I mean, we've seen Russell Wilson struggle for a little bit. And it's because they can rely on their defense, and because when they have a defense like that, by all means, rely on it. Don't mess things up. Kind of like the Alex Smith-led 49ers of 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, the thing that I like about Seattle is I like their tenaciousness on the defensive side of the ball, and they're so fast. A lot of people don't realize how fast this team is, how quick they are. Their linebackers are almost like strong safeties, but they hit like linebackers. Two quarterbacks went into Seattle and played pretty damn well. And both of them, one was a seasoned veteran who is way past his prime, probably Carson Palmer, you know, your quarterback. And the other guy was a rookie out of NC State with Tampa Bay. And the next question I have for you, and this is the only reason I would even release Seattle minus 3.5 points, would be that the crowd noise. It obviously bothered Kaepernick in the first meeting. I mean, that was exactly what Seattle tries to do to quarterbacks, what they did on national TV in the first meeting. How was Carson Palmer able to handle that? Was it the preparation?
It was. There's something about Carson Palmer that, say what you will about his, well, at least this year, especially with the turnovers, the guy has a demeanor that you love to have in a quarterback, is that nothing really phases him. So he messes up or there's something bad that happens, he's like, okay, we'll just do better this next time. So he never gets, you never see him really get rattled. And that was very, well, and he played in the NFC North, so he played in Cincinnati, he played in Pittsburgh, he played in Cleveland, the very hostile environments. Seattle is, other than being a little bit louder, it's nothing different than he had seen in his days as a Bengal.
Yeah, you know, I totally understand that because the Bengals played in one hell of a tough conference. I mean, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, you know, and it does get loud in both of those places. Shoot, the Pittsburgh fans, when they're on the road, are tough as hell because they'll travel 10 to 20,000 people, and there's people everywhere doing that. Jess, if you had to make your own pick, looking at San Francisco and Seattle today, which team would you pick just winning the game? I don't care about the point spread at this point. I care about who's going to win this game because San Francisco is playing as good as anybody in the NFL right now. They seem to be getting better every game, and they also seem to like playing on the road. And I think that's just because of the nature of the way they are. Who do you like today and why?
For me, it's almost a toss-up. I could see it going either way, but I'm going to lean on a little bit towards Seattle. If for anything else, offensively, I think they're pretty equal. Running the ball, they're pretty equal. Stopping the run, they're pretty equal. But the where I give Seattle the edge, and I think, well, other than being at home,
right,
is that their secondary plays better than San Francisco. San Francisco's secondary, you can throw on. And while Russell Wilson has a little struggled over the last few weeks, but you can throw the ball against San Francisco and make plays down the field against them.
You know, Carlos Rogers is even if he plays today, he's questionable. And you know, I saw Carlos Rogers play in Washington for 5 or 6 years. He, you know, he's an Auburn corner. He hits real hard. He's a decent cover guy. It was ridiculous that Washington never got rid of him. One of the reasons they got rid of him was because, A, the organization sucks, and, B, they don't have a general manager. And you know what they let him go for? Because he dropped, like, 7 interceptions in 1 year. You know, yeah, he did that, but he was their best cover corner, and they let him go. They also – it was also a free agent year. But look what he's done in San Francisco. Now, if he's not 100%, they're going to run a couple of guys in and out of there, especially with five receiver sets with Seattle. Now, Seattle's not going to – I'm guessing Seattle – you're not going to see a lot of five receiver sets. I heard somebody on NFL Matchup this morning, one of my favorite guys, Jaws, you know, talking about the pedestrian. No, it was Brian Billick was talking about the pedestrian receiving core for Seattle. Yeah, they are. And yeah, maybe that's why they're just running the ball. But I got to feel like you. I think their defense is a little bit better. And I think that their defense plays a lot better at home, don't you?
Oh yes, they feed off of that hostile environment. What's really impressive is that you have that defensive unit. It's just they hit hard from everywhere. They've got a very, very strong defensive front. Their linebackers hit. Their secondary hits. You are going to get hit no matter what type of play it is.
Right. Hey, so let me ask you this: if you were voting for Coach of the Year, would Arians get your vote? Because they played a great season this year. They really did.
It's hard not to go that way. I mean, there were a couple. I mean, the candidates that there were, Arians, Ron Rivera in Carolina, Andy Reid in Kansas City, you really couldn't go wrong with any of them.
Right.
But at the same time, they had a lot. I mean, Kansas City, they had a lot of players in place already. They just had to be healthy in Carolina. They have a long-term franchise quarterback in Cam Newton. Arians and the organization had to overhaul the complete lineup, and they brought in a veteran quarterback in Palmer who by all means is not seen in high regards among the media, so he's been on lots of losing teams, and he's able to turn that team around. It's hard not to vote for him, but then it's hard not to vote against the other guys around the league as well.
You know, even though the league went through 7 changes at head coach this season at the end of the year, and Cleveland still hasn't replaced their guy. They may end up with Jim Zorn or somebody because it's almost the same way it was in Washington a few years ago when they let Spurrier go or when Gibbs left in a hurry. They didn't have anybody really to replace him because they weren't expecting him to go. And you know, even though they pay a lot of money in Washington, nobody really wants to work for Dan Snyder. I got a feeling in Cleveland they're starting to go through the same thing. Let's get back to Seattle real quick. Russell Wilson. Now, I got to tell you, I love that guy, and I know you're a spiritual guy. You know, I read his scripture every day, and I love Russell Wilson. I think he is by far a great face to have on the NFL right now, especially at his age. I mean, he can't be more than 24 years old. You've seen him quite a bit. What are his strengths and what are his weaknesses, Jess?
Well, overall, his strength, he's very, very, I mean, there isn't anything he can't do. He's a great decision maker. He can throw the ball. He can make every single throw. He can throw the ball in small, tight windows. And the mobility that he has, his great leadership, and the intangibles are just off the charts. The one thing that he, if you consider it kind of a downside, a weakness, is that he is sometimes, he doesn't pull the trigger quick enough. Because he relies on that running game and the defense, he knows that the game plan is don't screw things up. And so he does not take some of the risks that when there is a play down the field, he will hesitate on pulling the trigger. And so that sometimes affects some of his other throws where he's a little bit off accurate on accuracy, but he can make every single throw. And that's the one kind of knock against him is that he doesn't pull the trigger. He doesn't have quite the gunslinger mentality that you like in your quarterback, but everything else he does really, really well.
Yeah, now they're not going to have Percy Harvin today. And, you know, you remember me talking about Percy Harvin maybe earlier in the year, you know, before the year even got going. The one thing I hated about that pickup was Percy Harvin's from Virginia, which is where I live. And I've seen Percy Harvin play in high school. I watched him at Florida, and I've seen him, you know, while he was in Minnesota. The guy is never healthy. Now, you know, a lot of people will argue with you. You know, there are plenty of guys out there that love Percy. He's a great interview. He's a nice kid. But he's, again, not available. Even those two or three plays he made last week in their game were big enough plays that they had everything to do with their win. That's going to affect them a little bit. I think what you're going to see today, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Russell's going to have to just take off a few times and run the football, isn't he?
He will. He'll have to. And Golden Tate, I think, will be a big key in that game. Tate is not, he's not as heralded a receiver as him, but when it comes to skill, Tate has as much skill as talented as a lot of guys in the league, but because of the type of offense they run, they don't get it. But he's going to have to make plays down the field to Tate, and he's going to have to make a few plays with his feet, too. Wilson will.
Yeah, you know, the other. Let's talk about the other game because we've got about 2.5 minutes left here in the segment, and I really appreciate you coming on. I'm on the phone right now with Jess Root, SB Nation, Arizona Cardinal guy. He's not just a Cardinal guy. He's also a Diamondback guy. He's my guy in Phoenix, and I appreciate you coming on, Jess. Let's talk about real quick about this other game. What do you see happening in the AFC Championship game?
Again, with the matchups that we have in both games, it really could go either way. I'm going to lean towards the home team. One, it's hard to, especially when they played each other only once during the season and the way that the Broncos lost in that game after they had the big lead, New England came roaring back. There is something to be had historically for the rematch game in the playoffs where you lose the first game. The team that lost the first game during the regular season many, many times, I don't have the number, but comes back and beats the other team in the playoffs.
Right.
Peyton Manning does very well. I like the fact that Denver can run the ball. They're able to run the ball.
Yeah.
And that is one thing where New England has struggled. Offensively, they're pretty evenly matched. Denver's a little bit better at stopping the run. Their number, their ranking defensively is a lot higher because the teams couldn't run the ball against them because they had to pass the ball to get back into the game. It's going to be a real evenly matched game, but I'm going to, because of the no Sean Moreno factor, I'm going to lean towards Denver and the fact that they're at home and that Peyton tends to play better in rematch games.
You know, I totally agree, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on this real quick. I think that it's a league thing. And I'm, you know me, I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, and they are playing the New England Patriots, who have already won three Lombardi trophies, you know, with Tom Brady, okay? I think that the league wants Peyton to win this game, in my opinion, and I think they are going to win this game. Somehow they're going to win this game. Now, I think both teams are going to throw more than you think they are today because I think Denver goes out in front again, but I don't think they're going to take their foot off the pedal. Do you see any truth in what I'm thinking?
I can see that. I can see that. The one thing that then that bodes well for Denver, if that's going to happen. Yes, they've got Tom Brady on the other side of the ball, but that team's kind of become a power running team because of the lack of weapons and on offense when it comes to the passing game. And so Brady's very capable of checking it downfield. I just think if it gets into that sort of situation, that bodes very well for Denver.
No, I hear you. Jess, I can't thank you enough for coming on. That's Jess Root. He's with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Jess, you're on SB Nation, correct?
Yes, I am. The Arizona Cardinals site is revengeofthebirds.com.
Revengeofthebirds.com. And you've become a little bit of a handicapper too, Jess, and I love seeing it, buddy. Hey, thank you again, and I can't wait to see you in the spring training.
All right, talk to you later, Bruce.
All right, buddy. Jess Root, everybody. SB Nation, Revenge of the Birds. You can get him at Senor, S-E-N-O-R, Jess Root. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at News Talk 1230 WFAS.
I'm so excited because Roy was here early and we like bonded before the show.
We've never really hung out before.
Yeah, actually. We don't because Roy gets out of bed about a half hour before the show. But leave the kids alone. That's right.
That's right.
I like what Putin said. Putin said, and listen, not that there's anything wrong with that. But
yes, you know, there's everything wrong
just
with that.
We're not talking politics right now, but I'm just going to say that. You know, I think it's very good that the Soviet Union is going to let all the gay people into the Olympics. You know, thanks for doing us that favor, Mr. Putin.
So now maybe Seattle would let somebody with a California address to come to their playoff games. You know, if Russia can let the homosexuals.
Oh, that's right.
Why can't Seattle let anybody with a California address?
Well, here's why you can't sue them for that. It's because of the fact that the NFL and Major League Baseball have an exemption.
Why?
From law.
So
they can do what they're doing to A-Rod. So they can do what they're doing to A-Rod. Just kick him out for good and blackball him, and he has no recourse because everything is under the collective bargaining agreement, not law. Mm-hmm. It's not law. It's the collective bargaining agreement, which they negotiate for, the unions.
Right. Yeah. No.
Along with the owners, mm-hmm. and they allow them to do that.
I mean, do you think it's fair though? I mean, put it this way.
For A-Rod, yeah.
No. Well, A-Rod, I don't. Screw that guy. There's multiple times.
Yeah, but listen.
Ask me
a question.
I'm talking about the tickets for the Seattle game.
A-Rod. I think it's perfectly all right. Yes.
So if you ran a franchise,
yes,
you would say
for a playoff game.
Say you own the Giants
for a playoff game.
Yep, and it's a playoff game, and so you say no, and you guys are playing.
Depending on your zip code would depend on whether you can purchase
the Eagles.
Tickets.
Nobody from Philadelphia can come.
No, never in a million years, because all you need are a couple of those guys there, mm-hmm. and you've got fights everywhere.
Yeah, that's a bad example, Roy.
it's not a bad example.
Oh, I can keep Philadelphia.
Hey, there might only be three Philadelphia fans in the entire stadium, and you'd need a SWAT team to come in.
That's not a bad example. That's the exact example that's going on
just
in Seattle.
Well, you asked me. I said, yes, it'd be perfectly all right. If I own the team, and if I can legally do it, I'm doing it. Because I do not want opposing teams in my stadium for a playoff game.
Where's the line you draw there, though?
There is no line.
There's no line?
No, there's no line.
Like, I believe it's a soccer team. Matt might be able to help me out with a soccer mat over there. There's a soccer team who is not allowing people that don't have, I believe it's a Dutch last name, attend their home soccer.
Well, there's good reason for that because people get hurt really badly in European soccer
fights. If you think you care about the NFL, basically, if you go to Europe, anywhere in Europe, they live soccer. I mean,
That's
all well and good, but this soccer policy is getting a little racist. Like, if you don't have a certain background of a last name, you're not allowed to come to the game.
Racism and soccer kind of go together a little bit.
I don't care,
where's the line that you draw with this NFL stuff?
I like what they did. I like what they did. They did it with zip codes. And that's the only thing they're doing.
For now.
Now, you could literally, you can be a fan for whoever you are. you just got to get somebody in that zip code to order the damn tickets for you. That's all you got to do. They're not going to kick you out if you have a shirt on with an opposing team. They're just trying to limit the amount of noise when they have the football, obviously.
Should they be allowed to kick you out if you have
absolutely.
A shirt of another?
They're not going to kick you out.
Hey, you know what? If you want to be able to do what you want to do, win another game next year. How about that?
No, I'm saying,
how about incentive to be in first place instead of second place?
If somebody wears a San Francisco 49ers jersey to Seattle's game today,
they should be able to do that because families are torn. Should be able to do that.
That's
yeah.
what I'm asking. Is
yeah, but
can you tell them to cover it up?
No.
Okay.
I would say no.
Are that's they doing that?
No, but I like.
I'm asking how far does this go? How far does it go?
But they're not
this?
Doing that. They are limiting zip code. Do you even know what they're doing? They're limiting
zip
codes.
Yes, I know exactly what they're
all
doing.
All the zip codes that are not in areas where you can't purchase the ticket unless you're in a certain zip code.
Exactly.
I like that.
And
I like that.
And
boy, that would be tough to do.
They're excluding specific zip codes.
What if the Ravens and the Redskins, God knows it's never going to happen because the Redskins will never be in the Super Bowl, and they're not in the same league. You know, they're not even in the same.
They could play the Super Bowl against each other.
Yeah, I know.
But I guess that's a.
But my point, they could, but that's not going to happen as long as Daniel Snyder owns
the
team.
And plus,
we've already made the point that
neutral,
as long as I'm alive, they're never going to win.
It's a neutral site, too, so there would never be that home field exclusion of tickets.
Well, it's not really a neutral site. You're talking about Baltimore?
No. If the Redskins and Ravens ever played in a Super Bowl, it would be at a neutral site, so we would never have this ticket controversy.
Oh, that's true. And plus, see the way that those tickets are divvied out. Do you know how they're divvied out?
Same with Jets.
Would everybody like to know how the tickets are divvied out? I don't know exactly what the percentage is now, but I'll tell you what they were when I was buying tickets 7 years ago, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. The two teams in the game, both of those teams get 20% of the total tickets. The league gets anywhere from, it's up to the league, 18 to 25% of the tickets. That goes to sponsors. That goes to the league offices. That goes to the teams, all of the teams, okay? And the rest of them are divvied up between the two teams in the game. And that, generally speaking, is about 7,500 tickets per team that are in the game. And I got to tell you, it's you know, that's what drives the price. Mm-hmm. Even in New York with the bad weather, right now I'm pretty sure it's $2,000 to get in. It's we're paying because I was a ticket broker for 30 years. Mm-hmm. We're paying like $200 to $2,500 for a get in, probably more like two right now because it hasn't really. We don't know who's in the game,
right?
And let me just say this: if Seattle goes, it's going to be a cheap ticket because they don't travel. They didn't travel in the first Super Bowl. Okay.
And you're talking about
if it's San Francisco, San Francisco has booster clubs in every major city in the country. The San Francisco 49ers are one of the original teams, and they are phenomenal at traveling. Okay. The other teams.
New England. New England goes, man.
Well, they're going to drive.
You hop on the bus.
Well, they're going to drive.
Hitchhike your way to the stadium.
They're
going to
drive. They're going to stay maybe just for the game and drive back.
Yeah.
Or they're going to stay a half hour outside the city, you know, north. And get out of the city and spend the night and then get up first thing the next morning, drive in, miss one day of work. That's all they're going to miss. Now, unless there's a blizzard, then you've got the situation where they may be playing this game on Monday.
Right.
They talked about that. There are contingency plans for the Super Bowl, and they made a big deal out of this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And right now, Roy, tell them what it is to have snow on the odds board. Is it plus 150 for no snow, right?
I gotta look this
no,
up.
No, for snow, it's plus 150. And for no snow, it's minus 200.
Will it snow during
that's
the game?
That's almost an even bet.
Yes, plus 150, no, minus 200. Yeah.
That's incredible. Now, you see what the juice is? 25%, man. You can't. That's why these are sucker bets. Because the book's going to make a lot of money on it.
It's all odds.
Yeah, but I got to tell you something. That just tells me all I need to know right now. I'm going to watch that odds board. That's like watching the weather report. Because as that odds board comes down, you know what's going to happen. Now, we're going to be, by the way, I'm going to be in New York again next week. And we're celebrating Bob Wolf's. We got a call?
No.
Oh, that's mine.
You might.
Something's buzzing. It's me. We're having a special day for Bob Wolf. Next Sunday, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's actually going to be pretty much for the weekend and stuff. And I'm staying up through Monday. I've got some business to take care of in New York. But I'm looking forward to
is
see.
Is that this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, it's this upcoming weekend. Right. It's the off week, which is good.
Yeah.
It means I won't be, you know, having to worry about getting into MetLife Stadium and freezing my butt off again
down
in the cold
we'll
rain.
Be worried about the games. I mean, good stuff.
Roy, did you know for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened? Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
And thanks for the music, Matt. Great intro there. Really good stuff. So going down these games today, the first game, 3 o'clock game, New England takes on the Denver Broncos and their arch rival Peyton Manning. Not necessarily the Denver Broncos being a rivalry game, but whenever Brady and Manning's names are in the same sentence, you got to talk about the rivalry. Which brings me to Bruce. You're one of the coaches. You're coaching this game. Okay, it's a pickup game.
I got it.
And you get your first pick. Okay. I get second pick. Okay.
All right.
I'll seniority first.
Right.
Which quarterback are you taking to play this game?
In Patriots Broncos?
Patriots Broncos.
I want Peyton Manning.
Okay.
That's just me. Why?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't cheat. I mean, he didn't get all of his. I mean, you know what I think. I think Tom Brady is a lot better than a seventh round draft pick where he was drafted.
Yeah.
But I think Tom Brady is a good quarterback. But I think what we're seeing now with Tom Brady is kind of where he is right now. Peyton mm-hmm. Manning just threw for 55 touchdowns and set
nearly
a league 6, record.
Yards,
almost
yeah.
6,000 yards with a neck that was operated on 8 different times in the last 24 months. I just think Peyton Manning, from a cerebral standpoint, mm-hmm. is a better quarterback. He's a thinking man's quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think Tom Brady's smart. I think Tom Brady knows how to get the most out of his guys. But I don't think Tom Brady's Peyton Manning. And you asked me, neither one of these guys is going to mm-hmm. run for a first down. I'm 60, and if my left knee's feeling pretty good and I'm not 30 pounds overweight, I might be able to run with both of these guys. That totally opposite from the next game, where you got two guys that are great athletes, that can run, can throw, but they don't have the cerebral part yet.
Who would you take in that game?
Russell Wilson.
You take Wilson over?
Yeah, I'd take him for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think Cap could have been anything he wanted to be. I think he could have been a wide receiver. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. He could have been a baseball player. He threw like 94, 95 off the mound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he threw an opening pitch this year.
He's got a rocket for mm-hmm. an arm, but I think Cap is a little bit of what we kind of saw. You know, him kind of rubbing it in the playoff game, you know, doing the Superman
Newton,
thing
yeah.
with Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. I think it got a little under Cam's skin, and I think it had an effect on Cam, and I think it had an effect on Cam's teammates. And I'm not saying that was a bad thing to do, but I wouldn't do that. And you know who wouldn't do that? Russell Wilson would never do that. Russell Wilson is salt of the earth kind of kid.
Russell Wilson, so we're not going to see Russell Wilson kiss his bicep today. I believe there's an odds line for that, too.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 1,000 to 1 against. No, you're not going to see Russell Wilson kiss his bicep. That might be the thing that turns Kaepernick around and gets him so mad that he doesn't lose.
Here's the line right here. Will any Seahawks player kiss his bicep today after he scores a touchdown?
Yes, oh, absolutely. I can tell you who it's going to be. If
yes.
anybody on the defense yep. returns a kick for or an interception or fumble for a touchdown, mm-hmm. oh, they're going to take their shirt off and kiss their bicep.
Yes, plus 500. No, minus 1,000.
I would say yes, plus 500.
Play there.
I would say yes, plus 500. That would be a good one to play. Couldn't you see Richard Sherman doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you open it up to all players, you're bound to get a bicep kiss in there at some point. If Kaepernick, I feel like Kaepernick has to score first, though. Kaepernick has to do it to the crowd in order for somebody to have sort of a retaliation thing back right now.
Hey, by the way, you know, we Chuck Todd is one of my favorite guys on Sunday. And during the week, he's, you know, we may not.
You hate him every other day.
No, I like
him. No, every other day, absolutely.
I like Chuck Todd because Chuck Todd, if you remember, was one of the guys. And we're not going to talk politics. This is purely sports. But I got to tell you, you know, I asked him if he wanted to come on today, and he's running kids around, which is what he does on Sundays a lot of times. And he goes, yeah, I asked him who his picks were. And he said, and I asked him, of course, if it was all right if I told everybody who was picking. So he goes, this is Chuck Todd of NBC. He's the White House correspondent for NBC. He goes, Niners and Broncos probably pass the smell test. Don't the best teams in the moment always win these games. Niners, Broncos, both pass eye test, so it's Patriots, Hawks, it is. He's just like me. He doesn't know yet. And I'm telling you right now, Matt and I talked about this when we opened the show. Roy, I don't know who I'm going to pick until the end of the show, and we're going to have hopefully a couple more people on here who are going to help me with that pick, and we're also mm-hmm. going to go over. Let me go over some numbers right now. The Patriots were 13-4, have won 13 and lost 4 to this point in the season. The Broncos 14-3. The Broncos set all kinds of records. The Patriots basically did it through the back door. I mean, nobody really expected the Patriots. I think everybody expected them to win the division because it was such a lousy division this year.
Yeah.
It was. It's a terrible division. Buffalo's in it. The Jets are in it. Miami choked down the stretch. They're in it. The Patriots are the class. They got the best. And listen.
I mean, there's no question they're the best.
Well, Peyton Manning even said he thought Bill Belichick may go down as the best coach ever.
I can't disagree with him, though.
Well, no, I don't disagree with him either. And that's why it's even more astounding and surprising to me that a guy like that would want to win so badly that he would cheat at any time in his career and break the rules. So hopefully he's not doing it anymore. But I think they were undefeated this year at home again, which is really hard to do. Even the Seattle Seahawks were not undefeated at home.
They lost in the last game.
Everybody listen to Jess on here, second segment today. He was intercepted 4 times and they won the game. Now, the reason that they won was because for 2 reasons. Number one, they had to win. Because they had to win everything down the stretch to have a chance, the Arizona Cardinals did. And number two, Seattle might have took them a little bit, you know, for granted, and they didn't particularly play a good game. But if you look at the statistics of the New England Patriots for the season, you know, they're an okay plus-plus team. I rate teams 2 different ways. You're either okay, which is right in the middle. You're okay plus, which is a little better than that. You're okay plus plus, which is like a B plus, or you're good. A good team is like an A in school. If you're okay minus, you're like a C minus. If you're mm-hmm. okay minus minus, you're like a D. And if you suck, if you have a big S on my rating on your team breakdown, mm-hmm. you have an F. You're failing grade.
So only 3 teams went undefeated at home this year.
Yep.
2 of them won the division. Do you know who the third one who went undefeated at home and that did not win the division is?
I should know. It is, I don't know who.
You'll know.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, the Patriots, I have
them. Not even going to give it a guess?
No, because I'm still doing what I was just doing.
New Orleans Saints are the other team.
Yeah, well, they always win in the Dome.
Mm-hmm. And the Cincinnati Bengals
and
would be the
and they aren't the very team. Good outside the Dome.
So the Bengals, Saints,
we proved that again.
And Patriots, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, do you know why I was all over that pick last week? And I'm jumping around because you jumped around. And when you mm-hmm. jump around, you get me off track, which is fine because I like being off track.
We're getting crisscross right here.
But listen, Patriots, listen to me. Last week, mm-hmm. I watched 2 games between Carolina and New Orleans this year. I watched them very closely. I looked at a lot of film of them. Mm-hmm. Both of those games, New Orleans destroyed them. They totally dominated them. They only lost. They lost one of them because of a late touchdown by Cam Newton out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But they outgained them 2-1 in both games. That's why I thought there was no way on God's green earth that the New Orleans Saints were going to win that game last mm-hmm. week. That's just not going to happen. They're not that good. Now they're a lot better than they were last year because they have their head coach back. You know, they have all the, you know, they have a totally different team. They have their general manager back, Mickey. They got everybody back. The Patriots I have rated at okay plus plus. I have the Broncos as a very good team. The mm-hmm. Broncos have like 5 stars in the passing game, and that's their passing game against the opponent's passing game. The Patriots only 1 star. Tom Brady's quarterback rating is 87.3. Opposing quarterbacks have a quarterback rating of 81. Yeah. That's a pretty you know, that could be an 8.
It's pretty
and 8,
average.
That could be an 8-8 team.
It's hard to think of Tom Brady as an average quarterback this year, but that he falls in the, well, the 15
did,
to 17.
He did it with
range.
Mirrors, and he has a good coach.
In a lot of the statistic areas, he falls in the 15 to 17 area.
Look at the running game. The running game, mm-hmm. 4.4 yards per carry. They rushed for 2,065 yards. Did the Patriots? The opponents rushed for 2,145 yards, and have a 4.5 rating. So there's nothing written there. There's not one team that is favored when New England plays anybody that's favored to be the better rushing team. Scoring-wise, though, they outscored their opponents by over 100 points. So you got to give them 3 or 4 stars there. Also, interceptions. They turned the ball over. They had 17 interceptions. Opponents only had 11. That's a plus. Kicking, Gostkowski's a great kicker. He's made another Pro Bowl, from what I understand. 38 for 41. Opponents, 22 for 27. He gets another star there. That's the OK++. Peyton Manning, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Roy, 115.1 quarterback rating.
Not bad, huh?
No, he's all right. Running the ball, look at this. 1,873 total yards, 4.1 average for Moreno. Ball had a 4.7 average. Even Hillman had a 4-point average. They can run the football, no question. They got a plus there. They're giving up 3.9 yards a carry on defense. Scoring was up. They had 606 points. That's ridiculous. They outscored their opponent by over 200 points for the season. It's only 16 games. That's like 14 points. They outscore their opponents by an average of 2 touchdowns every game. So they got a ton of stars, pluses there.
Mm-hmm.
They just like the same amount, 17 interceptions for the Broncos. They only give up 10. You remember the Patriots gave up 11. They get a plus there. They're the better team, the Broncos, and they're at home. Now, is being at home going to help them a lot?
Should.
It's going to help them 3 or 4 points, probably, because what do they have in Denver that people have to deal with?
Mile
right?
High. Right there.
Yeah.
Thinning air.
There's not a lot of oxygen in that
all
air.
All the weed.
Well, the weed.
Lots of potheads.
The air.
Well, hippies.
Well, let me just say this.
Probably really bad traffic
If any
circles.
Of the Patriot kids went out and, you know, went out and bought some you-know-what last mm-hmm. night and smoked a little you-know-what in the rental car, or
maybe
they're feeling maybe a little weird today, yeah. You know? But I doubt they did, because I don't think Belichick would ever let – now, I could see Belichick doing that. He's that age. Bill's like 60. He's
he
my
like
age.
Party.
He's like 60. Well, he parties with –
parties
with,
a lot.
What's the guy's name from – oh, come on, his best friend. He goes on tour with a guy. The
Bill
new,
Belichick?
The New Jersey band.
Oh, Springsteen or Bon Jovi.
No, Bon Jovi. John Bon Jovi's like his best friend. I'm pretty.
Now, Bill Belichick and Bon Jovi are best friends?
They're like best friends, absolutely. They've been best friends for years. As a matter of fact, he's been on tour with Bon Jovi. He used to go on tour with him every offseason.
Who's the guy with Friends in Low Places? Who's the guy with Friends? Is that Bon Jovi?
Friends in
No,
places.
That's
Tom
a damn.
Petty. That's right. Is that Tom Petty? Who's
no,
that?
Friends in Low Places is a country song, dude.
It's a name of the song. Yeah, who's
yeah, but
who
that's
writes,
a,
who it, writes that song?
That's like somewhat country and western guy.
I used to be a DJ and play that song.
Yeah, I used to be a DJ too. It's, I don't know.
God,
so anyway,
so here's a stat. So
can I go back to this, because we're getting ready to break in less than a minute? And you've got me like all over the place.
Sure.
The Broncos are going to win this game. That's just my opinion. 5 points, 5.5 points is a lot of points. If you took the Pats, I'd have no problem with you today. You know what I like? I like taking the Pats plus 15.5 in a 3-play teaser. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS. Be right back.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play it, just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Championship weekend here in the NFL. We got Manning Brady for the 15th time. Brady leading the series four losses, 11 wins against Mr. Manning. That means Mr. Peyton Manning only is, his record is 4-11 against Tom Brady. And as he put it throughout the media press conferences throughout the week, more so Bill Belichick and how much respect that he has for the mind behind the New England Patriots and how he thinks he's the best coach of all time.
Don't you think he was playing him a little bit?
I mean,
I think he was. I think that was Peyton playing him.
I think Peyton has a lot of respect for Bill Belichick. I think that Bill Belichick, and the proof is really in the pudding. I mean, Peyton has struggled against the New England Patriots and against – they put the statistic up there against Tom Brady, but he's not playing against Tom Brady. Tom Brady isn't playing on defense, and Tom right. Brady isn't calling the defensive formations.
Right.
That's Bill Belichick.
Right.
And when you're saying that you're 4-11 against a person, then you have to give the other guy some sort of props and some sort of anything because the guy's beat you. He's bested you the majority of the time. You're talking about a less than 40% winning percentage against a guy. I mean it's bad. It's bad. And today would help that. You know, it's a what have you done for me lately sort of kind of league. So a win today, Peyton Manning beating the Patriots today would help a little bit. But you're talking about a 5-11 record then and still one Super Bowl. You still got another game to win to even kind of climb back into this discussion because for whatever reason, Peyton Manning is still an arm's length away from Tom Brady when you talk about best quarterbacks of all time. Now,
I disagree, and I'll tell you why. You already asked me who I'd take
in a
pickup game, and I took Peyton Manning. I think Belichick has a lot to do with that other thing. I think there's also, you know, like the time when before the Super Bowl in New Orleans when they got the walkthrough done on tape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were 13.5-point underdogs against the greatest show on turf,
yeah.
and they lost and they won the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't think you can totally discount the fact that the New England Patriots cheat like dogs. And I don't know that cheaters ever quit cheating. And I got to tell you, Belichick might be the greatest football coach in the history of the game, but he will never, ever live down that cheating scandal.
Yeah.
And the only reason that it's not front page news now is because everybody who knew anything about it have been shut up like the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't bother me. And I like watching them play. One of the reasons I like watching this team play is because they take anybody on either side of the ball and make them better.
Yeah.
They actually coach their players.
No Albert Ainsworth.
You didn't.
But other than that, I mean, he's got a hell of a winning
percentage. No, I agree, Roy. I agree with you. Totally. I do.
He's batting.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Why did you and I, we're supposed to hear from Russell Baxter at 11:05, and he should be calling in any time. And he was going to throw some numbers at us. But the one thing I don't understand is, you know, like Peyton Manning, when he was in Indianapolis, arguably, all of Indianapolis's weapons were on offense. The defense was undersized. It was quick. It moved to the football. It was an indoor kind of defense, kind of similar to the way the New Orleans Saints were for a long time.
Yeah.
This is the best Saints defense we've seen in a long time since Greg Williams had guys killing people for no reason, you know, with all the problems they had. And he had some good players, but I don't think they were they didn't play as well as Rob Ryan's guys did this year. Tony Dungy did a great job in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning played in a lot of games. His record against Tom Brady, though, is 4-10. That is his record against Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's 10-4 against Peyton Manning. There's a couple of other things. Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, who was a head coach in Jacksonville.
Yep.
He was a head coach in Minnesota also. He is 0-7 against Tom Brady. 0-7. So it's really kind of easy to get to take those 5.5 points today because the odds are, from a standpoint of history, that New England should win this game. My question to you, Roy, is if there is a little conspiracy going on, and the league is, and you remember we talked about this during the break.
Sure.
There was a lot of stories this week on the internet about conspiracy theories for the league, you know, people coming out and talking about, you know, how games have been fixed and things have happened.
The lights off of the Super Bowl. And
well, that's
to bring everything back in.
That's totally different, and I doubt that. That probably was just something weird.
Well, it's one of those. I'm just throwing conspiracy theories.
Yeah, well, they ended up winning anyway, though.
Right.
So that's the only reason I say. But my point is, in a perfect world, Peyton needs to win today.
Yes.
He needs that second win because then he's got as many Super Bowl wins, if he wins the Super Bowl, if he wins today, as his little brother.
His big brother, yeah. Who has helped his side of the argument for the Tom Brady-Peyton Manning comparison.
Right.
If you take Eli Manning and the New York Giants out of the equation and Tom Brady and the New England Patriots go 19-0 and win the Super Bowl that year, and then the second time around win the Super Bowl, you're talking about, what, five Super Bowls? And a perfect season, and all the records. So then you're talking about five Super Bowls to one Super Bowl of Peyton Manning. Then you're talking about the record head-to-head. It's not even really a question. When you take it back a stab, you're talking about three Super Bowls, and they haven't won a Super Bowl since the whole Spygate controversy.
Right.
And now...
Oh, we got a phone call. Russ?
Yes, a little delayed. My apologies.
No, don't worry about it. Russ, start throwing some of those phenomenal... This is Russ Baxter, everybody. Pro football guru. Russ, you're the man. You got 3 minutes, Russ. Tell us exactly why whoever you think is going to win is going to win today.
Well, first off, in the history of football, in the history of the postseason, the team with the most points has always won the game. that's something to keep in mind.
I'm going to write that down.
I like Denver today. If we're going to go the AFC games, I think both teams are going to probably try to play ball control. To be honest with you, I think both teams have suitable running games. We saw what Denver did against New England, 280 yards rushing when they played back in Week 12. They killed themselves in the second half with turnovers. We saw what New England did last week with LeGarrette Blount. I think people were like, wow, New England has a running game. Well, New England was seventh in the league in running last year and ninth this year. So I know we focus on the quarterbacks, but wouldn't hurt if you saw where the ball went and you watched the other players on the field. And I know there'll be a lot of focus on Brady and Manning in this game as well, but not going to be surprised if Peyton Manning goes the English muffin route early in this game.
Right.
What I mean by that is a pair of Thomases.
Right.
Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas.
Right.
Get an early lead, try to play ball control. I think Denver maybe stays up 10 the entire game, wins up 34-24. The other game is fascinating to me. Everybody, again, wants to talk about the young quarterbacks. I want to talk about the defenses. One team gave up the fewest points in the league. One team gave up the third fewest points in the league. One team gave up the fewest yards in the league. One team gave up the fifth fewest yards in the league. Seattle led the league in takeaways. Seattle led the league in interceptions. San Francisco, under Jim Harbaugh, has beaten Pete Carroll's Seahawks 4 out of 6 times, though. I know the last two times in Seattle didn't go well, combined 71-16. And here's something even more fascinating. In the 6 games that Harbaugh and Carroll have faced each other as head coaches in the NFL, the 49ers offense has scored a grand total of 5 offensive touchdowns in 6 games.
Wow.
And they've been held to less than 20 points in the last 5 meetings. But I think there's a little bit of a mismatch here. And that's Seattle's troubled offensive line against the San Francisco front 7. I think the Niners go on the road. I think the Niners kind of black out. And the 12th man will be very, very active all day.
Right.
But they might need the 12th man against Frank Gore. And, you know,
I
just think San Francisco is playing better Seattle football right now than Seattle is playing Seattle football.
You know, I'm glad you like Denver, yeah. And I totally agree with you with San Francisco. My big problem I have, and by the way, we're talking to Russell Baxter. Russell can be found at Bax Football Guru on Twitter. He's also profootballguru.com. Russ, I can't thank you enough. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
For being a little
late.
No,
Russ, I heard you early this morning on a national show. You were great. I'll talk to you,
you
soon,
sir.
Buddy. Good luck next week.
You got it.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy and I will be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We will be joined shortly here by Clark Judge, CBS Sports. And Bruce, something I wanted to talk to you about real quick before we're joined by the guy. So much has been made by quarterbacks play in this new age NFL and how the new NFL is surrounded by the quarterback, which is very true. Okay, the entire offense goes through the quarterback. There's no real debating that. But I think that in the NFL, this is just my personal opinion, I think the NFL is starting to look kind of like how hockey has looked for a little bit. Whereas there are regular season teams and then there are postseason teams. And there are those flashy regular season teams like the Washington Capitals a couple of years ago who won the President's Trophy and scored all those points and then get bounced in the postseason. I think the NFL is starting to look a little bit like that as well, where you have the flashy teams in the regular season and then you have the get down dirty teams in the postseason.
Hold that thought, Roy. We got Clark Judge on. Clark, how are you today, buddy?
Hey, Bruce, I'm doing well. How are you?
It doesn't get any better than this. Clark, let's break down that first game real quick since I've got you on for a segment. We got the Patriots at the Broncos. I literally am on the fence. I want to hear you talk, and I think you're going to straighten me out.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'm sort of on the fence, too, because I like Denver at home, and I do think Peyton Manning has something to prove. He's got a lot to gain, a lot more to gain than Tom Brady. That said, New England can do what San Diego did a month ago, go in there, run the ball, control the football, move the chains, frustrate Manning by keeping him on the bench with a running game. San Diego did it with Ryan Matthews, and offensive line was pretty good when they went in last week. Ryan Matthews had the high ankle sprain. Offensive line wasn't very good because they had to replace the right guard. Look what happened. They lost, and they only lost by a touchdown, but still they lost.
Yep. You know, the thing I like
about trailing through, I think it's the same with a running game.
Right. You know, the Patriots can run the football. There's no question. And they're going to be able to run against Denver. But Denver, no Sean Moreno, in my opinion, is the key here. If he rushes for another 130 or 40 yards against what you would consider to be an athletic but not a very big Patriot defense that can stop the run, I think the Broncos could go out in front like they did the first time, and hopefully they can keep the lead as opposed to losing it. It's the only thing I see happening because I'm really pulling for Peyton here.
Yeah, they could, but I don't think it will because Peyton Manning, as I said, has something to prove, and they're going to go in this game. It's nice weather. He's going to throw the ball. They ran the ball against New England in November because it was so cold. The wind was a factor. And also, the New England defense wasn't very good. New England's gone more to a 4-3 now, and so it's going to be tougher to run against these guys. And I do think Manning wants to make a point here, and he got to win this game. I mean, really does have to win the game. I mean, I've said before, I think the legacy of Tom Brady is solidified. We already know Tom Brady. They're both going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, first ballot Hall of Famers. But Manning still has that yeah, but, and the yeah, but is the playoff record.
What do you think about, you know, the total is incredibly high. It's 57 points. And there's supposedly no wind at all in the stadium right now.
Yeah.
You know, you'd like to think that they are going to put it up more than they have ran it in the past. But I'm not sure. I it's almost like the under may be the play here. What do you think? You think both teams will score in the 30s, or do you think there's going to be some defense played?
No, well, neither team's got a very good defense. That said, I think there could be a lot of points scored just because of the two quarterbacks. But as I said, I don't think Brady is the factor for New England that he has been in years past, simply because they've gone in a different direction, Bruce, by necessity. Mm-hmm. They don't have a red zone threat. There's no Gronk. He's never had a deep threat.
Right.
So they're going to run the ball, and I think it's going to be about the running backs and the punishment that they can inflict on that defense. If they can get ahead, they're going to control the ball. And honestly, as I said, that's the way to frustrate Manning. It happened in December with San Diego. They kept him on the bench, and he gets antsy that way. If they can do that, they got a shot, and I think a pretty good shot.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that Dobson and Tompkins are out today. And you know, those guys weren't great, but they did catch the ball from time to time. And I just have a feeling that if this game isn't very close early, I agree. I think Denver is going to do it. I just don't think Denver can give up 5 points. That might be a little different. Let's go to the next game, Clark. What do you see happening this evening at 6:30?
Well, if San Francisco doesn't turn the ball over, which it's done the last two times up there, 7 turnovers, they're going to win that game. San Francisco's most talented team out there, probably the best team out there right now. These are the two best teams in football. The problem they've got, of course, is they're playing in a venue where only one team wins. It's not the visitors. It's always Seattle.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know Arizona won there last month. I don't care. I mean, that happens. But the problem for Seattle is the quarterback not playing very well. And other than Marshawn Lynch, they really don't have much of an offense. It's all defense. So I think San Francisco's got a chance. If it doesn't turn the ball over, it does. Seattle's going to win this ball game. I mean, Seattle really deserves to be the number one seed because they've been the best team for a long time. And they're in a place, as I said, where they just don't lose. That's going to make it so difficult for San Francisco. But the 49ers are surging, and they've got the momentum, 8 straight wins. You look at Kaepernick over that time, 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, playing very well. I think they've got it on both sides of the ball. Seattle right now has got it on defense. doesn't have much of an offense other than Lynch. Lynch, to me, is the key. If Lynch can run the ball as he did last week, Seattle's going to win this game. If San Francisco turns it over as it has the last two times, yeah, Seattle's going to win this game.
San Francisco has lived off of Frank Gore for so many years in the past. Now Colin Kaepernick starting to emerge as the guy. Can San Francisco win today if Colin Kaepernick doesn't have his best game? Does he have to play?
Yeah.
He has to play. He has to be the man today.
Yeah. Now, the answer is no, but he's got to be pretty good. He can't be a stinker like he was earlier this year when he went up there and threw three interceptions and fumbled the ball. But Frank Gore is the key for them, as you mentioned. Frank Gore peeled off that big run late in the game, and San Francisco led to their victory. He's capable of doing that. He's been a guy who's been terrific for a very long period of time. I think if Gore can get going, they can mix it with Kaepernick and the running game. They've got Michael Crabtree now, a guy they didn't have last time they went up there. Right, that'll be a factor for them. But I think Gore is a guy who's key for them, because if Kaepernick's not running as he has in the past, and there's reason to believe he won't because Seattle does do a good job of containing the ends, Gore's the key for them running. But otherwise, if neither one of those guys is going, he better be on his game. I'm talking about Kaepernick. Otherwise, it's over.
Right. Yeah, we're talking to Clark Judge, NFL insider here, and one of my favorite guys in the country when it comes to NFL football, especially during playoff time. Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question Roy asked me earlier today, and it was a really good question. If we were going to have a pickup game, me and you are the captains, Clark, who would you take if you had first pick, Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick?
Ooh, that's a good question.
It is a good question.
I thought you were going to take Brady, or you thought you could say Brady or Manning. That's easy for me, but this one's not.
Well, let me ask you this. Brady or Manning, who would it be?
That one's easy, Brady. I like guys who win.
See, you're just the opposite of me and Roy. We both took Peyton.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton's great in regular season. Unfortunately, you don't get Lombardi trophies for throwing passes and most yards. You get trophies for winning the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning's been there twice. He's won once. He's 10-11 in the playoffs. He's had 7-1 and done. Look at Brady. Listen, I'm no mathematician, but he's 18-7 in the playoffs. Yeah. He's won 11 division titles. No one else has done that. And he's 10-4 against Manning. 10-4 against Manning. So you want the guy that's 4-10 against the other guy. Yeah. Fine, you can have him.
You know, we were talking. I said that to Roy earlier. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that either. The other thing that they don't realize about this game, and, I can't remember where I saw it. I want to say I saw it in the New York Post on some numbers yesterday. But Jack Del Rio's 0-7 against Brady.
Yeah, right.
That's not good.
He's got 17 touchdown passes and no interceptions against his defenses too. But I mean, you know, this is a different ball game. But going back to your original question, I'm probably going to take Kaepernick just because of his physical abilities. I like his size. He's got some downside, which is he turns the ball over. He'll turn the ball over more than Russell Wilson. Plus, Russell Wilson is great when the game's on the line. I mean, getting teams from behind, the comebacks, the last minute throws. But that said, I love Kaepernick's physical abilities. I think the downside with him is he will make the mistake that Russell Wilson won't. But if you ask me which one I'd take, probably Kaepernick 1 and Wilson 1A.
Let me ask you this.
I'll take Andrew Luck over both of them, by the way.
You know what? Me too. I think everybody loves Andrew Luck. It's hard not to like that kid.
That kid is.
I got to say this. You're gonna laugh because you probably think I'm not capable of doing it. But last week, I fell asleep at halftime of that game because I literally thought the game was over. I mean, I really did.
Which game are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Indianapolis game.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, because I thought that was...
You thought they were coming back?
I thought they were coming back. Because I've seen New England too many times this year. I mean, they cannot put teams away. They're just not a good team. They've got a great player, but they've lost too many guys. And so they have a tough time putting people away. Until Blunt ran that ball from 58 yards that got the touchdown, I thought this game's undecided because it looked as if New England had hit the wall. But... No, I couldn't fall asleep at halftime of that one.
Yeah, I watched it like twice afterwards. It was to me, the running game is everything right now. I mean, when it used to be that the running game was everything anyway. I'm old, I'm older than you, Clark, and I got to tell you that back in the day when it got cold, you ran a football. That's just what you did. No. You hit the guy in the mouth. You just wore him down. You got the body punches in. And then when you finally hit him in the head, he fell down. That's kind of what I saw with New England last week. The Colts defense just didn't show me anything at all.
You're going to see that with New England today, Bruce. I mean, that's what they're going to do. I think basically when you tell me, for instance, like Dobson's out, Tompkins out, okay, all right. So what, your third receiver is who? Austin Collie?
Yeah.
So you're going to try to match Denver's passing game with – a third receiver is Austin Collins. You can't do that.
No.
But you've got weapons behind you now. So just keep hitting him and hitting him and hitting him again. And honestly, with Blunt, he's so big, he's 250 pounds, that by the second half, and I think you saw this in the Indianapolis game, that the opponents are going, no more. I don't want any more of this guy. I don't want to tackle him. When he went through for that touchdown, LeRon Landry had a shot at him. He dove at his feet. He didn't want to get in front of the guy.
Yeah, we're talking to Clark Judge here. Clark, what's the best way for people to follow you? Are you on Twitter still?
Or? Yeah, I'm Clark Judge at CBS, but Clark Judge CBS, but I'm going to change that at some point. I haven't so yet.
No.
You can get me there. You can get me there for the time being, but that'll be changed. But I write for Sports Exchange, which they can find me on. I'm Glenn Pasquarelli's got a new site going called Pick the Draft, which is actually a pretty good site where you end up picking the first round of the May draft, I guess it is now.
Right.
And the guy who gets the most number one picks right gets $10,000.
We got to do that, Roy.
We need
the money, Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. I've entered three times.
Hey, listen, I'm going to be up there next week, and I'm definitely going to give you a call when I get up there. Clark Judge, everybody. Roy's got a question for you, Clark.
I got one more for you. So the last time these two teams met earlier in the season, Knowshon Moreno went off for 224 yards, and the Peyton Manning wasn't the 300 yard guy. That was actually Tom Brady that day.
Right.
So can the Broncos rely on Knowshon Moreno to win this game, or does it have to be Peyton Manning's arm?
No,
I didn't mean to cut you off there. And can Tom Brady be the man without a running game? So I guess two part question there.
Well, I don't think Tom Brady can be the man without the running game because, as I said, they've got a depleted wide receiver, a depleted receiving core. Last time they had Gronk in there. I mean, Gronk was there. They had Tompkins. They had Dobson. They don't have those guys.
Nah.
He doesn't have anyone, really. And so your big threats are Edelman. Your big threat is Amendola. Those are possession receivers. You can't beat them that way. They threw last time out of necessity. When you're down 24-0, you can't run. They have to throw out of necessity. Could Denver win with Knowshon Moreno? Yeah, I guess they could, but that's not going to be their game plan. They've gotten where they are with Peyton Manning throwing 55 touchdowns, not with Knowshon Moreno running for 300 yards or 200 yards every game, whatever it is. But I know we had a big game last time, but honestly, I think the conditions dictated it, and there are people who believe that the Patriots actually were happy that Manning and those guys were doing it that way simply because he wasn't throwing the ball as much. But I do think the conditions dictated that. And as I said, I look at where they are now. Nice day, no wind.
Oh, yeah.
You know Manning. When he's given the choice, he's going to throw first and then throw second and then maybe run. He's going to throw.
Absolutely. Omaha. Hey, listen, Clark, thank you so much for coming on.
Clark,
I really appreciate it. I'll see you next week.
You got it. Thanks.
Clark Judge, my NFL
Always
insider. And, you know, it's the best stuff in the world. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. And there's Roy. Roy's looking at a. Is that
Instagram
what do you call that? It's an Instagram picture of Tom Hanks when he was. What was the name of that movie?
Castaway.
And he was so happy to find who?
Wilson.
Wilson.
You can follow me on Instagram if you guys are into that kind of thing. You know, really artistic pictures of food.
Yeah, I'm old. You can follow me on Facebook or on my website, BruceHallSports.com. And by the way, if you're just listening towards the end of our show and you're bummed out, they're replaying our show on WFAS every Sunday from 2 to 4 now.
Are they really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not live, but it might as well be.
Yeah.
And like today, you really wouldn't miss much because the first game probably won't get started until about 3:20, 3:30. And if you're just hearing this, you might want to find out who we like, who we don't like. It's getting near that time, and you know who we have on here in about 10 minutes, Tony Mazur.
Hey, Mr. Tony Mazur.
Yeah, when Tony comes on, we drop everything and
always
just start laughing.
It's always a great day.
It's always a great day in Cleveland.
Which North Turner?
You know
going
what?
Going to Minnesota, right?
Yeah, he went to Minnesota's offensive coordinator. I'm so tired of people telling me how great he is. You know what? They didn't have to put up with 7 years of him. 7 years of North Turner, and I'm not going to blame that on Snyder.
And another Redskin.
Actually, he fired
guy.
Norv Turner. That's right. Snyder bought the team, and then he fired Norv was here 1 year, I think, for Snyder.
And then Shanahan.
And he fired Casserly first. It was either Norv or Casserly, and Norv threw Charlie Casserly under the bus, like everybody thought he would, because Norv's a, you know, and that, not one of the nicest guys in the world, in my opinion. Although everybody knows him, says he's great.
Yeah, Snyder fired Norv Turner after 1 year. And then Schottenheimer came, fired after 1 year.
Yeah, he fired maybe was, the best coach we've ever had.
It was like
here.
A fire quit because he tried to take the GM things away.
Yeah, should we let's talk a little bit about the NFC East, because these people want to know what we got in Jay Gruden. What we got was John Gruden's little brother. Mm-hmm. But the thing I like about Jay Gruden,
I
like the fact that he's 46 and he still has brown hair, and I know he's not coloring his hair because he's just not the kind of guy that would color his hair. I guarantee you one thing, in 2 years he'll be gray. He'll be gray. That kid will be gray as hell in 2 years of being the head coach of the Wild, if he makes it 2 years. And he will make it 2 years.
I like the hire. I really do.
I like him, but we kept Jimmy Haslett.
Well,
I don't understand that so much. Now, you saw where the guy I wanted ended up, Minnesota, Mike Zimmer. Mm-hmm. Mike Zimmer's the new head coach, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
That's a good place for him because Mike is an old school guy, you know. Minnesota is an old school place. Mm-hmm. It's cold. You know, it's like salt of the earth people that live up there. Football's big up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got AP. They have some problems at quarterback. Their
big
defense
problems.
Needs some help. Their offense needs a lot of help. It's going to be, you know, he just signed a 4 or 5 year deal too. And he, I want to say Zim's 57 years old. So he's going to be there into his 60s. But he just signed Norv Turner, that you pointed out, as his offensive coordinator. And who is the defensive coordinator? Oh, I know who it is. It's the guy from Cleveland.
Is it the guy from
Cleveland? Yeah, the defensive coordinator from Cleveland. And we're going to have Tony on, and Tony's going to give us all things Cleveland here shortly, because Cleveland does not have a head coach yet.
No. An offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator.
We've replaced,
and
what, seven coaches?
Their owner's going through all kinds of legal battles still, right?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. First of all, if you're going to let your head coach go, and a lot of people were surprised when they let him go. Cleveland didn't play.
He wasn't even there for 365
games. Well, they didn't have a horrible season, but the last 4 or 5 games, I think they lost 6 in a row maybe at the end of the year. But the thing of it is they played pretty well most of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they looked decent.
And they were playing with Brandon Weeden at quarterback. And then, you know, they had the other kid that started that was a rookie.
Yeah, what was his name?
I forget, but he tore his knee up like the second game he played. And then they brought my boy in, Jason Campbell, who I happen to like a lot. And Jason played well till he started getting regular concussions every game.
Until he started acting like Jason Campbell.
Yeah, and but that's not the head coach's fault. Mm-hmm. That, in my opinion, is Joe Banner's fault. The general manager of the Cleveland Browns.
Indians.
I wanted to say Indians.
Baseball season.
It is baseball season soon. And by the way, I'm going to be going to Arizona to see my boy Jess Root, who we had on earlier today. But I'm also going to be seeing my boy Bruce Bochy, the San Francisco Giants, everybody else that's there. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm not going when I normally go. I'm going late February, early March, because I got to stick around with my older dogs when my daughter goes to play softball.
Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer. And you know what? Everybody liked Brian Hoyer. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Norv Turner loved Brian Hoyer. And Norv quit. You know why Norv quit? Norv quit because they fired the head coach. He liked that. They got along great. Which, you know, all they were probably going to end up being, Roy, was average. You know, if Cleveland gets to 8-8, 9-7,
that's a good year for them.
That's a great year. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of all you have to look forward to in a division where you have the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah.
Now, here's another guy that's going to be looking for some coordinators. And that's our boy in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. In Baltimore, too.
Yeah, everybody's losing coordinators left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't really – he was titled offensive coordinator. Are you talking about the
he is now the Detroit Lions coach.
Yeah, the head coach.
And he was in –
Jim Caldwell.
Yes, there it is.
But here's the thing about Caldwell.
They fired their running backs coach, too.
Yeah, and Ernest Biner actually just interviewed with the Washington Redskins, and you know, it'd be interesting to see EB. EB's a former Pirate, East Carolina University Pirate. Got a Super Bowl ring from 92 when they went to Minnesota and beat the crap out of the Buffalo Bills and Jimmy Kelly. I was there. me and two airplanes and a blizzard. That was fun. But it was fun. The Hogs were right next to me. It was a lot of stuff going on. Let's talk about this game, because when Tony gets on, you know, we're going to have to make a decision. Who do you like in the first game? Roy, you got to make a pick.
Yeah, I guess I do. I guess it's that time of the day, huh?
Well, I'm going to take Denver to win.
Yep.
As far as the spread goes, I'm going to take Denver minus the points. And the reason I am is because 70% of the money is on New England. And the boys don't like to lose, right, Roy?
That's right, they don't.
And here's the other reason. I feel real bad. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hedge with the over. Because if it goes over 57, mm-hmm. New England may win this game.
Well, the line has moved again. So
what is it, 5.5?
It's 4.5 now.
Oh, God. So that's good for us.
Yeah, that's good
That
for
means
us.
More people are taking...
The money line has moved up to 70, as has the spread to 66, all on New England. 70% or 69%, depending, is on the over in that game, which is at 57. So I like Denver. So this latest move for me, the 4.5,
it's good for me.
So
well, you know what? I had to play them in the National Handicappers Bowl. By the way, go to nhbowl.com. See how Bruce All Sports is doing. You'll see I'm doing okay. Matt, tell me to get away from the microphone. Anyway, I was too close. I was popping it.
See if we can break.
I'm gonna take Denver because everybody in the world is on New England.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I'm gonna tell you why I'm taking Denver. Denver's at home. Peyton needs the game. They've got more. They do have more weapons on offense.
Yeah, much more.
And you know
weapons.
Who's gonna be a lot closer to 100% today than he was last week? Wes Welker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wes Welker catches about 12 passes today. I think his other guys are gonna. I say Peyton is 25 for 35 for 384 yards and 4 touchdowns, and I think Moreno gets over 100 yards. I think they control the ball for 35, 36 minutes of the game, and Denver wins. And if I'm wrong, sue me, okay?
Don't act.
Because I've been wrong before, all right? Roy, what do you think the final will be? You think they'll go over that 57 number?
I think they'll push it. Not an actual push, but I think it'll be right up on that line. I think it'll be a little under because I don't think that the New England Patriots running game is going to get as going as it was a week ago. I think Denver is going to be keen in on that, and they're going to make Tom Brady beat them, which I think Tom will keep up. But I think the first quarter of this game could go scoreless. I think these are going to be two defenses that are going to be hungry for the rivalry because all the talk all week has been Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. No other player on the team is really getting any love on either side of the ball.
So you think Denver's going to win?
I think this will be a late push with scoring.
But you think Denver's going to win?
And I think Denver wins and covers.
Well,
yes.
I'm going to take them for winning and covering also right now. And I'm not saying if I change it, I got to change it like before 2 minutes before the end of the show. But I'm going to go ahead and take Denver. I'm going to step out. And I'll tell you what else I took. I took the over in the other game. I'm going to take the under in this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the under in this game. I'm going to say even though Denver scores 4 touchdowns through the air, they're not going to run for one. They might run for one. This could be a 31-21 game and go under. 31-24 under.
I mean, 57 is a big
That's a lot.
Line. And we're talking about playoff
And with
football
a three-team
now.
Teaser, that becomes 67 when you're under. And I like that. I like that play a lot. All right, the next game, real quick. We got a minute, Roy.
Next game is the Seattle Seahawks. They are obviously playing host to San Francisco 49ers. The over-under here is 40. It still hasn't moved. The line, the opening line was 3.5. It's still 3.5. This game hasn't moved at all. The spread, 62% are on 49ers. 71% of the money is on San Francisco. 60% on the over.
You know what? It makes a lot more sense for the league to have San Francisco come east than it does Seattle. That's the only thing that scares me to death with this game. San Francisco is playing as good as anybody in football. They're getting 3.5 points, but they're playing in Seattle.
Yeah, that's the big kicker.
They're playing in Seattle. You know what? I'm going to tell you when we come back from this break. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy and I and Matt will be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We will be joined by Tony Mazur here shortly to break down some Cleveland stuff, get his picks on the day. But Bruce, I wanted to talk to you about quarterback rating.
Okay.
Before we had Clark on, I was saying a little bit about how I think they're that the NFL, and here's Tony, of course. But the NFL is starting to look like there's regular season teams and there's postseason teams. And there's quarterback play, and then there is the all-together teams with the defenses and the running games that really step into the postseason. So before I get too far into this again,
Tony Mazur.
Here's Tony Mazur.
Tony, what's going on today, buddy?
Oh, I'm just freezing my you-know-what off right now.
Yeah, Cleveland, I hear it's like zero there right now, something like that. That's good. It'll be...
It's a nice balmy 24 right now.
Well, is it windy? That's a stupid question, isn't it?
It's everything. It's like it can't snow without it having a blizzard.
All right, let's talk about Cleveland's situation real quick in the NFL, and then I'm going to get your picks real quick. What the heck is going on with Joe Banner and the owner? And why are they going to be? They're going to end up just like the Redskins. They're going to have Jim Zorn as the head coach, right? Because he's available,
Well, yeah, I mean, the two names that are brought up right now are Dan Quinn, the DC from the Seattle Seahawks, and, well, apparently Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator, who basically we all know that Peyton Manning is the offensive coordinator in Denver, but apparently Adam Gase is withdrawing his name. That's some of the reports that have been coming out the last 24 hours, and then the other name is Mike Pettine, who's now the defensive coordinator for the Bills, but was with Rex Ryan in New York all those years.
Right.
But those are the two names that are being floated out there. Well, and a lot of national pundits are like, well, it's good to see that the Browns are having some patience. And it's like, okay, I understand that, but you need to fill out a coaching staff. And basically every team that had a head coaching vacancy filled that and are starting to fill in all the coordinators. So basically I don't know who's left after that. Browns can sign either one of those guys. And then, who knows, the Marlboro Man can be the offensive coordinator. Maybe the Jolly Green Giant or somebody.
Where's Terry Robiskie? Terry Robiskie wouldn't be a bad pick if he wants to be a head coach. I mean, in my opinion. Because Robiskie knows everybody.
Well, he was the head coach of the Browns, actually.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
And he was an interim head coach after Butch Davis. He had his nervous breakdown and left. And then he was like for there about six games, but I think Robiskie's down in Atlanta last time I checked. But it is a complete disaster, and I don't think it could get any worse for the Browns when you take a look at what has happened in the last year, where you have Jimmy Haslam, who's ripping off trucking companies for rebate. You have the Browns end up sticking with Brandon Weeden instead of Jason Campbell, who's been the starter, and then Weeden didn't actually, in games he started this year, did not win a game. So what is the point of that? Wow. You have Devon Best. I don't know if you guys...
Oh, I've been reading about Devon. Yeah, he freaked out at Fort Lauderdale Airport, was dancing and his pants were falling down. It sounds like Devon, he has some medication that's not working, or he's not taking his medication. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because from what I understand, I've seen just as many kind of reach outs by NFL players that know Devon saying they hope he's okay and all this stuff. But yeah, that's you need to probably put yourself in an institution for a little while and settle down. Yeah. I would imagine.
What happened was the report, I don't know if it came out last night or this morning, but Jeff Ireland, who is the now former general manager of the Dolphins, apparently when the trade was going down with the Devon Best and the Browns, they withheld the information to Best about this time around, or around this time last year, he was in a mental hospital.
Right.
He had to be strapped down, and nobody knew about that. Now, is that you can't necessarily, if the Browns didn't know and they perhaps didn't vet enough, didn't realize that this was happening, but, I mean, this is not a good situation. And you had, yesterday morning, Devon Best posting pictures on Instagram of him completely naked. And, I mean, this... nobody knows what's going on with this guy, and it's past, like, you can't even make, you know me, I'm on Twitter and I'm a joke.
Yeah, oh
everything.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I can't even make jokes about this.
No, it's serious stuff, and wow. Somebody needs to get up there and take care of him. Is he still a member of the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, he is. He's still
well,
there.
Then somebody needs to make wow. the trip up there and take care of him. I mean, in my opinion, that's what needs to happen. If nothing else, they need to hook up. Now, I'm pretty sure he's still kind of tight with his mom, right? Because she was involved somehow in.
You know what's interesting is I got to talk to Devon Best when he was first signed by the Browns, or they traded for him, and right around the draft, he was one of the nicest athletes I've talked to, at least on the phone. And then a guy that I'm like, wow, you know, this is kind of cool. And you have a guy who has some credibility coming from Miami.
Of course,
he came off of surgery, but still it was like, I mean, this could be that third down possession receiver that a lot of teams really need, like a Wes Welk or some of these other.
Well, his numbers were players. Real. His numbers were good, Tony. Everywhere he went, I mean, he had decent numbers. Hey, let me ask you a question. We'll get off the best because that's just so depressing to even talk about this poor guy. And really, mental health's nothing to. You know what? It's nothing to sneeze at, and I hope he gets taken care of for sure. Hey, talk to me. Who you like today and why?
Well, you know, I've at the beginning of the season, and of course the Falcons made me pro because I said they were a Super Bowl team.
Well, you were close. You were close. I mean,
not too far away.
Hey, I had the Texans going.
Hey, Roy had the Texans, so you both were like a combined 5-whatever. But keep going.
The Texans are this year's Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion. They tanked and lost 14 straight. That team is damn good.
They quit. They just quit is what they did.
But I've stuck true to Denver, and I said Denver all year, but I'm flip-flopping today. I think Brady gets it done. I like that backfield for New England. And people, you know, you go through the days of Kevin Falcon, Corey Dillon.
They got a lot of weapons.
Now they do. Yeah, you saw LeGarrette Blount had 4 touchdowns, Julian Edelman, Stephen Ridley.
Shane Vereen, baby. Backfield. Shane Vereen wears 34, and he's a wide receiver, basically. I mean, you know, they got a lot of guys they can go to. They can complain all they want. I'll take those guys any day, you know?
And especially, I look at Denver, and Denver's defense, and we talk, and when Tim Tebow was there, and we're all talking about, you know, Von Miller and how great this defense is, well, it's shown a lot of signs of garbage, and you saw that that Dallas game. Romo put up 48 points on him.
Yeah, they made Tony Romo look really good that game. That might have been the best game I saw all year on TV. That was a good game,
probably. And you saw what Manning did also on the other side, but that was an incredible game. But I look at how that Denver defense they've won because they've been able to put up points. But New England has a pretty solid defense too, even though they've had their share of injuries.
Yeah.
I'm going with New England here. It could come down to a field goal. I'm not sure, but I think you're going to see a good one in the early game. And then the second game, boy, I'll ask you guys this. Who has the better defense?
Seattle has the better defense, I think.
In that ballpark, you got to go with Seattle. And I'm going to tell you, everybody in the country right now seems to be on San Francisco and the Pats. So I'm going with both favorites. And the only reason I am is because I think that Denver – is going to play their best game of the year today. And don't get me wrong, and you know me, Tony, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I just think that, you know, they've won enough Super Bowls and cheated enough, the Patriots. I think that's enough. And I think Peyton needs a second win. Now the other game, I'm just saying, I saw that game where they got beat 29-3 in Seattle. Kaepernick didn't handle that crowd at all. He looked like he wanted to be anywhere but that place. Now, if they get the lead and they run the ball and they play the kind of defense they're going to play, because if you remember a couple of the scores in that Seattle-San Francisco game up in Seattle early in the season, they were turnovers. They were scores by turnovers. So that was a little bit closer game, but they only scored 3 points. Now, they didn't have Michael Crabtree, which makes a difference. But Frank Gore looks pretty healthy, although he's not 100% because Frank takes himself out of the game after every once in a while he'll take a bad step and you see him kind of limp off the field. But Seattle in that park with that noise, I think Kaepernick chokes. I just do. And I like Russell Wilson. I just think that, you know, if you're not going to take Seattle minus three, 3.5 today, when are you going to take them, right?
Yeah. I'm going with Seattle, too. Even though that's what I mentioned with the – I asked you guys about the quarterback situation – or, I mean, the just to see how the quarterback play will be against the defense, because Cam Newton was phenomenal all year, and you're giving this guy some MVP votes and just looked that good until last week, and he looked bad. And I'm wondering, it really is going to be the battle of who's – and I think Russell Wilson is the better quarterback. I think he can be a good pocket passer. I don't see that from Kaepernick. I see Kaepernick being your typical running quarterback where – if I can't make a decision right now, I'm going to run.
Right.
Of course, Russell Wilson can do it, but he's a little more elusive in the pocket and can actually he played baseball, so he's a gun down the field.
Yeah, they're both.
I got to go. And then, of course, you know, with the running game you mentioned with Frank Gore,
right,
where he has to take some plays off because of injuries, and he's getting up there, but he's been a very good back for all these years.
And this is
Marshawn Lynch. This guy is.
Yeah,
good.
He is.
I mean, come on now.
No, you're right, and I got to say this. I mean, it couldn't be two better teams playing each other. Plus, two coaches that are played against each other in college hate each other now.
Yeah, big rivalry.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. I think that's going to be the game to see. Denver's going to be fun to watch. You know, it could be a little higher scoring. I like the over actually in the San Francisco game because I think if that's a hedge play for me, because if San Francisco keeps it close, they're going to have to score 21 points. I mean, because I think Russell Wilson and I think that offense and Marshawn Lynch do control the ball, and I think they're going to get 20 to 27 points. So if San Francisco is going to cover, they're going to need to score 20, and the total's 39.5 or 40. You got to go with the over there. And like Roy and I said, I like the under in the other game because I think both teams are going to try to run the football. I really do. Hey, we're talking to Tony Mazur with Yahoo Sports, right, Tony?
That's correct.
And Tony is our Cleveland guy. We don't mess around, you know. I'm just like the mob. I got one guy in Cleveland, one guy in Dallas, one guy in New York. You know, you got to have a guy somewhere. And Tony Mazur is the...
It's all part of the family.
Tony Mazur is my guy in Cleveland. Tony, thanks so much for coming on, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Huh?
All right, I'll see you guys. I was just going to say, Norv got another job. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? He gets way too much good publicity. It makes me sick. Just makes me sick.
Maybe you guys can hire Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle interviewed with Philbin. I'm hoping Philbin gives him a job in Miami.
Miami already hired him.
Well, did they? Yeah. Oh, that sucks. All right, we'll be back, Tony. Hey, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you so much. Tony Mazur, everybody. All right, Roy, we got to give Matthew. We have 1 minute. We got to give Matthew our picks. I'm taking Denver minus the points. I'm an idiot.
I am too.
And I'm taking Seattle minus the points. I'm taking the two home favorites, which is not like me all the time. But you know what? Yeah. Chalk is chalk.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the chalk. I'm betting on Secretariat at 1-20 to win by 35 lengths in this horse race.
I got Denver minus the points, minus the 4.5. I have the under in that game. And then I have San Francisco plus the points, plus the 3.5. And I have the under in that game as well.
Listen, everybody, be careful when you're driving out there, please. You know, and now that I've gone up to New York, and I spend a little time up there, I meet a lot of people. Y'all be good. We'll see you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.